Today's podcast is sponsored by Instant Technologies on the web at instant-tech.com. Instant is the leader in enterprise-class compliance, e-discovery, and productivity solutions for IBM SameTime. Instant Integrity 5 is now available and extends the Integrity platform for SameTime compliance, providing the ability to capture, review, search, view, and monitor SameTime conversations. Integrity 5 supports SameTime 8.5, installs in less than 30 minutes, and scales from 40 to 40,000 users. Integrity 5, the leader in SameTime compliance and IME discovery. Available now from Instant at instant-tech.com. And don't forget to follow Team Instant on Twitter.
Have pen and paper ready for this exciting information. It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort. This is about pen and paper, right?
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 162 of the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And today we talked about three things, right, Julian?
Yes, we did. We did not have three different guests, but we talked about three different things. The first thing we talked about is we had a nice chat with Ed Brill and Wouter Alkema about IBM's new partnership with Trust Factory, and what that means and what that's about, and some of the details about what's going on with that. There's even kind of a special little offer that Ed adds in the middle there that if you're a sharp-eared listener that you'll pick up on. And we moved on from there to talk about the book that Ed has just started writing and what the book is going to be about and when it might be coming out. And from there, we then talked about what is the next version of Notes Domino that we might be seeing this year, Bruce? What was that called?
Some of us used to call it Notes 8.54, but now we're going to call it
Lotus Notes Social Edition?
That's correct.
Yes, and so we had some discussion about that to talk about what some of the new features are, when it might be coming out, and just what you should expect in terms of entitlements and functionality and the product itself.
So let's have a listen to Ed Brill and Wouter Alkema.
Today we are speaking with Ed Brill from IBM and Wouter Alkema from Trust Factory, and this is going to be kind of a three-segment podcast. We're going to go over a few things that Ed has mentioned on his website recently or in the recent past, and so the first part, we're going to be discussing some things about Trust Factory. So just to do some introductions, Ed Brill, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Hi there. This is Ed Brill. I run product management at IBM for Lotus Notes and Domino and Smart Cloud Notes and our social communications and a few other products.
Great. And Wouter, would you like to introduce yourself to the studio audience, please?
Yes, hi. My name is Wouter Alkema. I'm the founder of Trust Factory, small business partner based in The Hague in the Netherlands. Personally, my Notes Domino background goes back to version 2 under OS 2, I believe, so a bit of old school. Other than that, addicted to Botswana and Namibia in terms of hobbies. There you go.
All right. So the first part, we're going to talk about something Ed mentioned just a couple weeks ago about a partnership between IBM and Trust Factory. So, Wouter, I'd like to see if you could kick that off by, first of all, just talking about what the Trust Factory product does and then kind of lead into some details about the partnership with IBM.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, DNA is not actually a product. It's more a services portfolio, I would say, where we help customers with their primarily large Domino environments. What it is that we do with DNA is to provide realistic ambitions to the customer with regards to cleanup and optimization opportunities, with regards to projects such as, for instance, server consolidations, outsourcing traditionally. And in addition to that, also to help customers gain the most out of the performance that Domino offers. I think that DNA with DNA, we target four audiences at the customer, ranging from management level towards project teams having to architect, let's say, new solutions, architect new data centers, as well as to administrators, support organizations, as well and developers. What makes DNA powerful is because it is executed as a service. We keep anonymized statistics of all the customers that we engaged with in the past. And this gives us the opportunity to compare key performance indicators with the current customer that we're working on to, and compare that to all the other customers which we've done. So we're talking about an excess of 2 million users worldwide.
Wow.
Over the past years, what has happened is that DNA has kept on evolving since its incubation back in 2001. And I believe, and correct me, at I believe 2-3 years ago, we started working more with the team of AdBrill in helping IBM's customers to make better use of their Domino environments in terms of the feature set that Domino offers. How can we show the customer which features they're currently not using, what it means if they start using that, all the way at the other end towards competitive situations. Can we show the customer a comparison of what it would mean if they go to a different platform versus what does it mean and why is it better to stay on board of the Domino platform?
Okay. So, Ed, from the IBM standpoint, what angle are you taking with the partnership in terms of using it for customers that just have been longtime Domino customers and are looking for some improvements, or the competitive situations that Wouter talked about, or how are you planning on using this product?
So, I mean, I think that the main opportunity we have is to work with customers who need some help in optimizing their Notes Domino investment, explaining that Notes Domino investment within the context of their organizational priorities, finding some benchmarks to compare against. So, we're going to use it in sales engagements kind of all over the world where we're either working with the customer on their roadmap and strategy, or in some cases with customers who maybe, sort of walked away from their investment in Notes and Domino and found that they were actually still using it quite a bit and would like to right-size that and modernize it. So there's a lot of flexibility, to where we can plug Trust Factory into working with customers, and we're going to be pretty opportunistic about it for a while.
Wouter, how about yourself? What's your take on this new partnership between IBM and Trust Factory?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it is I see it as a professional crown on my career, and from that, I'm obviously extremely excited. Secondly, what is extremely nice is that with this partnership, a whole world of IBM and IBM customers is opening up to our DNA services, and from a professional ambition, that is absolutely wonderful.
So I was going to ask Wouter this question, but I think I'm going to throw it at Ed. And Ed, what are like the top three things when people see the DNA services offering and what it can do for them or what information it can provide them? What would you say those three things are?
I think most organizations have a little less understanding of what's going on in their notes environment than they probably should or could. And so the three things that Trust Factory can do is it can visualize the extent of their investment, it can compare it against sort of the industry norms, and it can identify opportunities for improvement and efficiency within the environment. So it's not just a set of charts you can put in front of the pointy-haired boss and say, see, we use notes quite a bit. It's actually going to tell you, and here's how we compare and areas where we're deficient and places we can improve. And so I think the end result of a DNA analysis should be that a customer finds that they have specific and concrete recommendations on how to improve their environment that should help, make it more efficient, lower costs, et cetera.
So last question for Ed is going to be, Ed, what can we expect to see from IBM, in the future regarding this new partnership?
Right. So we we haven't even really sort of formally announced this other than the blog and this podcast and a couple of discrete places within IBM. And we have a pretty extensive pipeline in place already of customers where we're planning to conduct analysis and report findings over the next, you know, I'm probably busy almost 100 days out already. But, you know, we'd like to have room for more. And, you know, I think that one of the things that we haven't said clearly to the outside world, and we haven't even yet really to the inside IBM world, is, you know, what customers qualify and what's the price tag associated with it and, you know, sort of details like that. And I can't really share all of those externally. Clearly, there's a value associated with what this analysis does and you know, the information that it produces. So there are probably some listeners to the podcast that are wondering, well, you know, this is a great tool. I just checked it out, and I'd like to find out if my organization could take advantage of partnering with IBM. And, you know, obviously there's some cost and value associated with it. But let's say three podcast listeners that email me at edbrill@us.ibm.com, @_brill@us.ibm.com, with a little bit of a background on where they think that the DNA analysis might be beneficial, I will get them queued up to do this analysis, and we'll see what comes of it. You know, normally it's going to be an engagement that our sales team works through, but we can bypass the system occasionally, so why not?
So is that listeners over and above the Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort listeners?
Of course.
Yeah, because we would email you, of course.
Yeah, look,
we have first dibs.
If Bruce's environment needs to be optimized, I'm here to help.
We are fully optimized, but I appreciate the offer. It's a small environment, but.
Yeah. All right. So part two of the podcast today, I guess, more from Ed Brill's recent notices and blog entries and announcements. Ed, you mentioned that you're going to work on a book. And I guess we were just talking about customer engagements and some kind of aspects of your job that we tend to see as customers quite a bit. And another big aspect of your job tends to be sort of being social and being on things like this podcast or whatever. So how does all of that, all of the stuff you do in your job, tie into this book?
Right. Well, that's a fairly broad angle to come at it from. So the book is about what it means to be a social business in the context of product management. There are a lot of books on social media and social business that are in the market today, including some from some of my IBM colleagues. But nobody's really written a book that comes at the angle of product development or brand management. Most of it's been marketing or HR or overall corporate culture kinds of things. Nobody has said, we made our product better by being a social business. And I through working with you all in the Notes community and the marketplace at large over the last decade, have made Notes successful, more successful than it would have been as a result of working with social media and social business tools, both externally outside of IBM through the blogs and Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn communities and whatever, but also inside IBM with our internal use of the tools as well. And I think that's a story worth telling the world, is that we at IBM have been successful doing this. It's not just that we're a vendor selling tools that accomplish it. We, you know, we live it every day.
Ed, for the record, when did you start blogging again?
I started blogging in December of 2002.
Right, and I think before you made the book announcement, you had, I think, tweeted maybe out some tweets about you reviewing all of the posts and comments on edbrill.com, correct?
I reread every blog entry going back to 2002, mm-hmm. Yes.
And did that give you a warm and fuzzy when you said, I'm going to have a much easier time writing the book based upon all this, you know, product manager blogging stuff that happened over the last decade?
Right, exactly. I mean, we lived this. Nobody said at the time, you know, when you know, XYZ happened in the blogosphere, oh, this is going to make a great case study someday. But there are hundreds of examples of things that happened out in the public eye, and some of them, you know, sort of as a tangent coming out of that, that, you know, are truly remarkable examples of how business is done differently today. And they make for a great story. And I think that there will be a pretty open and willing audience to receive that in the context of the book.
So who besides yourself is going to be contributing to this book? Are you the sole author?
So I'm the byline author. I am writing the content myself. There are some contributions to the book that will come in the form of sort of sidebar observations, 1 to 2 pages each, probably scattered throughout the book. I'd like to have at least one in every chapter. And thus far, there are people like, there's this guy, Bruce Elgort, maybe you've heard of him. He said he'd contribute something on OpenNTF and how the community has been successful around that. I've got some industry analysts lined up to contribute, some IBMers. I don't want to kind of out any of them on the podcast because I'd like to make sure that they, you know, are comfortable with their commitment before we put too much pressure on them. But so far, I've got 4 or 5 contributions lined up, and I'm open to more. You know, part of the point in blogging about it last week was, you know, I'd like the community to be involved in contributing to the book. I'd like it not to just be my voice. And so if, you know, there's somebody out there that thinks they have a story to tell in the context of social product management, I, you know, am happy to have that.
So how much of this do you think is going to be kind of IBM-centric versus just social brand management in general?
That's a good question, Julian. So, I mean, first I should be really clear. The copyright on the book is IBM, right? This is not me personally having gone off and, you know, decided I'm writing a book. The book is being published by IBM Press. It's an IBM publication. You'll see content in it that comes sort of straight out of other places within IBM. I'm trying to type every word myself. I'm not doing a lot of cutting and pasting, except where I'm quoting, obviously. But you know, it's going to have some IBM voice to it. And you know, the subtitle of the book, I'm not telling you the title, but the subtitle is Lessons Learned in Social Business from a Fortune 500 Product Manager. So it is really meant to be a story of how we at IBM have done this, but you know, there'll be other customer stories in there as well, some of which you know, some of which will be new in the book. So, you know, I'd like to have a diversity of voice, but it is ultimately intended to show the market that we at IBM are, in our minds, best practice on stuff like this, as we have been going all the way back to 04, 05, when we introduced the first social media guidelines for a major corporation, made them public, and tried to catalyze a real revolution in how companies talk to the marketplace.
So is this going to be something that will be available for Lotusphere?
Boy, I hope so. Publishing is a interesting calendar-driven activity. In order to be ready for Lotusphere, the first draft of the book has to be done in about 6 weeks from now. And, you know, Michael Sampson, who's written a bunch of books on collaboration down in New Zealand, industry analyst that many people in the Lotus community knows, he told me back in March when this was still a concept, he said, you know, it takes about an hour a page to write a book. And I sort of scoffed at that. I'm like, I type pretty fast and whatever. But by the time you do all your organization and thinking about it and putting the words down, it takes about an hour a page to write a book. So, you know, so a book in 200 to 250 pages is going to take a bunch of hours. And I'm going to burn some vacation days in the next few weeks and spend some weekends and nights. And hopefully it'll be ready for Lotusphere. And if it's not actually in print at Lotusphere, we should have at least a sample chapter to distribute or something that we can work towards at that point.
So when will you be writing a book about the history of Lotus Notes and Domino?
It's a great question, Bruce. I wish I knew. I would really like to write that book someday. It's challenging to write that history book when the history is still evolving. I think, you know, when I think about my kids in school, you know, they always go back to 1492 and Christopher Columbus. And the problem is that now they never get to 20th century history because they're so busy with the Native Americans and the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and all that stuff that the school year runs out before they get to Korea or World War II or Vietnam or any of those kinds of activities. And I feel like that's a real deficiency in our educational system because the history is continuing to evolve. But I learned that in the same place. Like I could write a first 20 years of Lotus Notes history, but I still feel like there are things and decisions and stuff I'd want to write about that is germane to how the product is in market today. And I don't think that's fair to IBM or to the market. So I don't know. I'd like to write that, but I'm going to write this social business book first.
And now I'd like to talk to you about today's show sponsor, Instant Technologies. You know, they're the company that makes Integrity, which provides compliance and e-discovery for your other messaging system, IM and SameTime. You know, in many companies that I work with personally, IM and SameTime usage is now outpacing email traffic. Go figure. Whether standalone or integrated with other systems such as EAS or SourceOne, Integrity provides a stable, scalable, and secure solution for IAM compliance and e-discovery. In fact, it installs in less than 30 minutes, supports SameTime 8.5, scales from 40 to 40,000 users. And Instant Technologies has been in the market now for over 10 years, and Integrity is the proven leader in SameTime compliance and e-discovery. So with that, I'm going to ask every one of you to go point your browsers at instant-tech.com to learn more about Integrity. You can also follow Team Instant on Twitter at Team Instant. That's @TeamInstant.
All right. So one more little choice bit from your blog recently, Ed, and this has been something that has been talked about and really a little bit hyped up for the last couple of months, but not Notes Domino 854, and specifically 854 Social Edition. So what is the latest news on that? What are the things that we're going to get with 854 Social Edition?
Yeah, so Lotus Notes and Domino 854 Social Edition, or as I'll mostly call it, Notes and Domino Social Edition, is the release we're working on right now. It's in beta. We're at Code Drop 4. And it delivers primarily client and client interface improvements in the sort of Project Vulcan vision that we laid out in the past. So the delivery of the one UI-based user interface in both the Notes client and in iNotes, the delivery of OpenSocial 2.0 support for embedded application experiences into both Notes and iNotes, some incremental feature work in Mail Calendar Contacts in both Notes and iNotes, but really some major work in iNotes that brings it up to equal to the Notes client for Mail Calendar Contacts, etc. The other big thing in the release is the Notes browser plugin, which is a instantiation of the Notes client without having to install the client. It runs in the browser, no separate install. It's a plugin managed like other plugins and can run your Notes applications directly in the browser. On the server side, there's a couple of incremental features around SAML authentication and OAuth. There's some stuff in Traveler. There's some stuff in Designer. So overall, a pretty big feature release. Which is why we put the Social Edition label across all of it and are talking about it as more than just the next incremental release of Notes Domino.
Ed, I remember reading through your blog entry in the comments, and I think I remember reading a discussion whether this was going to be two products, right, or one product for deployment.
That's right.
Can you help clarify that?
Yeah, at Lotusphere, we announced that it was going to be two things, that there was going to be a Notes 854 and there was going to be a Notes Social Edition with new features. And the 854 was just a stability release, a maintenance release, kind of in the classic definition. That has been immensely confusing both to the market and actually also internally at IBM. And so we really wanted to consolidate to just talking about Notes Domino Social Edition. It happens to be version 854. You won't see us emphasize that much, except in the context of a lot of customers who are superstitious that if we went to 8.6 or 9.0 or some, you know, other version number that was a 0 kind of thing, they'd probably wait till 0.01 or 0.02 or 0.02 fix pack 4, hot fix 37, you know, before they'd get around to deploying it and feel confident in it. This is the 8.5 code stream. It's not getting any major architectural changes. So, you know, we really want to communicate that this is a release that is ready to deploy the day we ship it.
Okay, so I think that there was some kind of discussion several months ago about whether this would be the Social Edition piece would be a whole separate product, I guess, or whether it was going to be kind of a bolt-on. And so how is that going to work as far as actually downloading the product at this point? Are you going to download the whole thing, the entire Social Edition client, or is it going to be the 854 client, then the Social Edition after that?
So the way it stands today, and it's not in the Code Drop 4, so anybody who's seen that, well, they're under NDA anyway, but in Code Drop 4, it doesn't work the way that it will going forward. We're putting all of the features in the thing that will be the Notes 854 Social Edition download. And you can configure that deployment as just an MR with none of the new features. You can configure that deployment with the new features, you know, kind of however you want. The only thing that'll be a separate download is the open social support for embedded experiences. And so that'll be explicitly labeled Node Social Edition Embedded Experiences add-on or something like that. We haven't come up with a name. It'll be a mouthful, unfortunately, but that'll be the only thing that you install separately. And reality is, if you wanted to, you could put it all together in a single deployment package. You could use third-party tools. I know there are tools out there that can make your desktop deployments far more effective, to package it all up together. So, to the administrator, the fact that there might be two downloads is probably not real relevant. The main reason we're keeping it that way is that we'd like to be able to evolve the open social support more rapidly than waiting for a next release or a next major release or whatever. We'd like to be able to evolve that embedded experiences at a faster rate and pace. So that's the only reason for keeping it separate.
Okay. Ed, I was going to interject a question here, Julian, and that's about connections 4 and 8.54. Is 8.54 the client that's paired with connections 4, Ed? Is that a fair assessment that if you want to use certain things in 8 in connections 4 with inside Notes, that 8.54 is your best bet, or
Notes Social Edition? That's the 8.54 client. See, I'm spinning already.
No, it's okay. I was going to say that, but I screwed up. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. Notes Social Edition is definitely paired effectively with Connections Next, the release that will likely have a number 4, but we haven't announced that. And explicitly for things surfacing the activity stream in the homepage of the Notes client and for doing embedded experiences, both Connections Next and Social Edition share that same implementation of the Social 2.0 protocol, so you can do embedded application experiences in either environment.
Okay, and I might have missed this before, but from the licensing standpoint, are all currently licensed users of Lotus Notes just allowed to get the Social Edition stuff all by itself for free with their current license?
It will be a entitlement update. So if you're active on SNS at the time that we ship and current buying new licenses at that point, then yes, you'll be entitled to Notes Social Edition and 8.54 and all of this code on the day it's available. So it's not a separate charge or a new product. It's just an update release.
Right. And what day will that be available?
That's a great question. I don't know yet. We're working towards this year. We're going to have to see how the ongoing work goes, but we're working towards this year.
Julian, anything else we need to ask Ed about Notes Social Edition?
No, because I think there's going to be more things coming out in the next few months, and so I think that's just a good teaser.
Okay.
As far as 8.54 goes.
And Ed, I'm sure you'll be blogging things as they come up with Notes Social Edition over the next couple months, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. We'll really start talking about Notes Social Edition and Connections Mail, which is a sort of parallel project, and all those things starting, I would say, in August, September timeframe. You'll start to see much more public. So, yep, okay. Definitely.
Excellent. Well, we covered a lot today in this short podcast, right? We talked about the new partnership between Trust Factory and IBM. And Wouter, is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe tell people where to learn more about Trust Factory?
Yeah, obviously we have our corporate website, which is www.trust-factory.com. Personally, I run a little blog on www.alchema.org. I post articles with regards to some of the findings that I do. So those two websites, and of course, IBM is a good source of information as well.
Okay, and we'll put links to your blog and Trust Factory website in the show notes. Hey, we then went on to talk about Ed Brill's forthcoming book. And Ed, anything else you want to add about the book there?
No, I'm really looking forward to sharing as we go, right? I mean, I'll be blogging about the book as well, the process of writing it, and I'll be drawing reviewers from the community for sure, in addition to contributors. And again, anybody who's interested in learning more and perhaps being part of it, I am definitely open to that. You know, it's just my name on the byline, but I'd love to show that it was community effort, just like everything that's being described in the book.
And people can find you, your blog, Twitter, blog and Twitter, where, Ed?
My blog is at edbrill.com. My Twitter ID is edbrill. My Facebook page is edbrill.com, all spelled out. I think it should be easy enough to find. Okay. Just don't confuse me with that comedian, Eddie Brill.
Yeah, well. And then we wrapped up with Notes Social Edition. And Ed, any little things you could, like, add to get us truly super excited about the social edition?
I think the UI work's been pretty impressive. I'm pretty conservative because I run the team. I don't try to run latest and greatest all the time. Doug Cox in the engineering organization, he'll run yesterday's build, but I'm not that adventurous. But now I'm running the build sort of full time. I'm really liking the UI. It is clean. It feels better. It is, you know, definitely the update we needed, and the web work is really fantastic. So
cool. So can you turn your screen so we can all see it?
Yeah.
No, only kidding. Julian, any final questions for our esteemed guests?
No, I think that was a good show, and I think that we'll have enough links and information in the podcast show notes that if people need more information, that they'll be able to just click right through.
And we'd like to also thank one more time Instant Technologies and their Integrity product for sponsoring episode 162. Wouter, thanks again.
Likewise. Thank you, Julian, Bruce.
And Ed, thanks again for partaking on this episode. I think this is maybe your third, fourth, fifth, or sixth time on the show. So thanks again.
Well, Bruce and Julian, thank you for running the, you know, most consistently informative podcast in the community for years and years and years. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, actually, we're going on 7 years, Julian, in November, right?
That's very possible. I haven't counted the years in a long time.
Yeah,
but
we're going on a cruise.
Going on a cruise.
No, only kidding. All right, take care, and I think you're all going to enjoy episode 163, where we talk about app dev and IBM connections. Take care, everybody.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Instant Technologies on the web at instant-tech.com. Instant is the leader in enterprise-class compliance, e-discovery, and productivity solutions for IBM Same Time. Instant Integrity 5 is now available and extends the Integrity platform for same-time compliance, providing the ability to capture, review, search, view, and monitor same-time conversations. Integrity 5 supports same-time 8.5, installs in less than 30 minutes, and scales from 40 to 40,000 users. Integrity 5, the leader in same-time compliance and IME discovery. Available now from Instant at instant-tech.com. And don't forget to follow Team Instant on Twitter.